We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Two down, two to go. A little peek behind the curtain. Zach is admonishing me and Mark Menard at Master Control, or Mark Menard and I should say. So we have grammar police out there on the text line, by the way.
Yes, always have grammar police on the text line, 100%. But
I was reading today about the possibility, I'm a big Star Wars junkie, obviously the Star Wars Episode 9 is coming out soon, and I want to know where is Rey, where did she get her powers? And there's a theory out there that Han Solo had an affair with a woman that was a part of the dark side of the Force. And Mark and I are enjoying this conversation, and Zach rudely jumps in and just says, "Nerds!
Nerds!"
Our resident ogre.
Yeah, right. Nerds. You're not a Star Wars geek, huh?
No, I'm not that into it. I've seen most of them. I haven't seen all the new ones. And I probably would have a hard time distinguishing even between like the three originals of like what I remember from each one. It's been a long time. So
we could count you out at the midnight showing when it opens in the theaters?
I'm going to pass on that.
Because we usually try to go to that as a few of us around here. Me and T-Bob went, I think, for the Force Awakens.
You know what that means, Zach? That means that your kid is going to be super into Star Wars. Because generally, right, the things that you're not into, that's what they're going to gravitate towards.
Well, and that's fine. I use the term nerds lovingly.
With affection.
It's really okay. It doesn't. I appreciate that you guys know that stuff that well.
I've long opined that Bill Belichick is Senator Palpatine. Like, he can shoot lightning out of his
fingers. See, and I have no idea who that is. That means nothing.
The Emperor.
It means nothing to me.
The Emperor. So he can shoot lightning.
Darth Vader's boss.
Yeah, Darth Vader's, he's a Sith Lord. He's bad. He's evil. He can shoot lightning out of his fingers.
Is he the black guy with the red, like, shining through his mask? He has, like, a black and red face?
No, that's Kylo Ren.
Yeah, see, I don't.
He wears a hood. He's an old man in a hood, and he shoots.
Oh man!
Oh, he look. Does he look really old?
Oh yes.
In the hood. Okay. Yes. Yeah, I see. That's about how I know Star Wars. I can piece it together if you walk me through it.
Wow.
Sorry.
It's not all right. My thing. Zach, does the NFL have a consistent disciplinary problem with how they handle personal conduct policy violations and in particular domestic violence? I know we're going here right real fast. Jaron Lee, the latest to be suspended from Seattle Seahawks for 6 games. Yep. And it seems like they just don't – there's not a lot of balance. There's not a lot of, consistency when they dole these out. And they don't ever answer as to why one gets 6, one gets 4. They don't show the evidence. They don't show any of that. There's a lack of transparency.
I don't know why the league does this to themselves. Just give it to a third party. So it doesn't look like you are – It just the appearance of it is so bad, right? I mean, obviously, this offseason, the Tyreek Hill has been the big domestic violence story, right? And all the things that were said and all of the comments and how hard some of that is for people to hear. And then you turn around and go, we didn't have enough evidence, right? I mean, you go back to where this all really started with the Ray Rice, hey, We know everything. We're going to give him 2 games. And then you see what they saw, and to give him 2 games, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I can't. And then it's like, well, we'll just backtrack now that this is out. Well, it just looks bad. And I don't understand what the benefit is to the league to hold on to that power other than it's a negotiating chip. And I hope the NFLPA isn't stupid enough to say, sure, we'll give you X to take that power away from the commissioner. I would just continue to let the NFL make themselves look like idiots over and over and over again. It just doesn't make any sense, and I don't know why I don't know why they don't realize that. I don't get it. And it's because it certainly seems incredibly inconsistent. And there isn't, I mean, and listen, they don't have to tell us, anybody, why they do what they do. but it's a public business. And so the public's interest in it is going to have a bearing on people willing to spend their hard-earned money on the game and all those things. I just don't know why they do it.
Apparently, this is a case that stems from, like, I'm not trying to marginalize it or minimize it, but there wasn't necessarily domestic violence in this case in its truest form. It wasn't Ray Rice, and he got 6 games. Jaron Lee got 6 games. And then there's the Tyreek Hill thing that the NFL lets him go. No suspension whatsoever. It just seems like there's just not a lot of balance. And I'm with you. For me, of course the NFL, if they're investigating their own league or within their own league, they're not going to have the objectivity necessary, I think, to investigate something that's going on in your league. It allows them to the potential to sweep something under the rug. And we all know that the NFL is masters at that. They do that all the time. Going back to January 20th this year, all 7 of those officials that were in that Superdome for the no call, nothing happened to them. They're all working again this year. No repercussion whatsoever. It's just, it's kind of it's hypocrisy is kind of how it comes out for me. This is Sports Talk here on WWO. They're calling for it on the text line. You're welcome at 870-870. Don't miss Newell Norman tomorrow. He's going to talk about the Gretna cop fired after posting AOC needs a round. Did he deserve that or a second chance? And whose social media post do you find more offensive, the Gretna cops or AOC's? That'll be spicy tomorrow on the Newell Norman show starting at 10 o'clock. I'll be in the audience. I'll be listening. I want to hear Newell talk about that from his perspective of being a former sheriff, how he might have handled that. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870.
Go ahead. On the text line. You know I like my text line. Mm-hmm. It says, what makes you think the NFL gives a rip about what the public thinks? They know we're going to go to the games and watch on TV, so nothing makes any difference. And I here's why. I have the same question when it comes to Roger Goodell. And people say, well, look how much the league has grown, right? Why would they fire a guy that the league has grown so much under? The league is a lot bigger than any one situation or any one problem or any one person. I would make the argument that if the league had a great reputation amongst fans, it would be considerably bigger. I think the league is big in spite of Roger Goodell. The league is popular and successful in spite of all the things that happen on what seems like a fairly consistent basis that the public doesn't understand. So I agree. There's going to be a lot of people watching regardless, right? There's a lot of history. It's the 100th season.
Not just that. The explosion of fantasy football and gambling has increased the amount of fans that are consuming this product.
Brought more people in, right? But if everyone also was like, there's nothing I don't like about football, right? I love it. Listen, there's not a lot of NBA fans out there screaming about what the league does, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if that was happening in the NFL? How much bigger could it be? And if you say, why would they care? They would care because it can always be bigger. And that is ultimately what the owner's goal is, right? I mean, it's a business. Let's not make any crazy, you know, let's not all believe that it's not. That's what it is. It's a business. It's a big company. And the goal when you own a company is to be as big and successful as you can be. Fixing those problems, not having things like what happened to the Saints in the NFC Championship game, is highly beneficial to the league. It just is. There's anyone that's like on the edge is gone.
I'm still disappointed, vastly disappointed in the fact that none of the 7 officials that were a part of that crew had any kind of reprimand, no repercussion, whether it was some sort of fine or, hey, we're going to, I don't know, demote you. I heard yours and Deuce's conversation shortly thereafter, the no call, and you brought up the great point of they have to have so many years of college experience, right, before they can apply for the NFL. And you're promoting a good old boy system by keeping that. And you're perpetuating that even further when these officials know that there's no real concern for me if I make a mistake. Am I gonna get fined a little bit of my game check? There's none of those safeguards in place, and that's what bothers me, because The NFL talks about it all the time, the shield, accountability, right? There's a certain way we expect players to perform on the field and conduct themselves on the field. Why doesn't that apply to your officials? It doesn't make sense to me. That bothers me.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's – I just think there's a place and there's an opportunity for the NFL to make some changes that alleviate some of these issues that people, and this is not, listen, the no call thing is an issue here. It's a Gulf South issue, right? No one else in the country gives.
By and large.
They don't care, right? Mm-hmm. They don't care. But there's a lot of these things that just give you almost an uneasy feeling because you don't understand. You're out, you know, it's like, it doesn't, there's things that happen that don't make any sense. And that's when your mind is free to go wild and to let it run, and whatever comes into your head is what you're going to think. And I don't know why they wouldn't try to alleviate some of that. I don't know why they wouldn't just say, hey, let's take this discipline away from what appears to be the league and give it to this third-party arbitrator that's going to make a good decision based on a very confined, strict of guidelines that we write. Right, mm-hmm. I'm not saying you let someone else decide what how many games he's penalized, like he makes his own system up, but give them a strict set of guidelines and apply it so it's always the same, because it doesn't seem to be the case.
There's inconsistencies when they dole out these punishments,
and at least then people can be upset at this arbitrator and not the league.
Yeah, he takes-
ultimately, listen, I want the league to be as big as it can.
It allows you to fade the heat a little bit.
Exactly. I think that's the best way to put it, is it keeps you out of being the responsible party for those problems, and it changes the perception people have of what the league is doing and what the commissioner is basing his decisions on and all of those things that cause all of these issues and problems. It changes them. Now, a lot of people would tell you no, because every time there's some type of an issue or a controversy, you're all talking about it. And that's all they really care about, is that peace of mind, right? That we're talking about it anyways,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's not a real argument. We talk about the NFL all year because there's only a 2-month period where there's nothing to talk about in the NFL.
Well, really like a month if you think about it.
Right.
When you consider all the off-season stuff. And now, again, here we are on the eve of training camp, and we're talking about the NFL because a player got suspended for 6 games. Look, right. Zach, you know my feelings, I would think, on the LHSAA and how they conduct their investigations. It's no different than the NFL. In the NFL, they do have trained investigators, guys that are former law enforcement, not like the LHSAA. But it's the same thing. The investigators in the NFL are gonna try to ultimately find what the NFL wants them to find. There's not a lot of objectivity there, opposed to a third party. And I think it comes down to the NFL doesn't want a third party to have information to potentially leak. They can control the narrative, ultimately, or have access to certain documents or records or what have you. I think that the NFL is doing some things that they don't want the average fan to maybe know about.
And that is I think it's definitely the case that it's ultimately a control thing,
mm-hmm.
right? They want to have control over it. What do you think the arbitration contract would be with this third party for the NFL?
Money wise?
Yeah.
Mm.
Extensive.
Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't put a dollar on it, but a lot of zeros, a lot of dollar signs.
It'd be extensive,
a lot
right?
of commas.
You don't think that's enough of an incentive for that, whoever that is, whatever that organization or company is, to keep things private? There's a lot of things that go on in this country that are kept very private. A lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that's even a consideration. It's easy. Hey, the first time something like this leaks, you guys are done.
And we get half our whatever.
Yeah,
we get half the money back.
Right. So don't leak any. And I don't think you have any problems. There's a lot of very honorable people in the world that are more than capable of keeping a secret.
So you think the NFL is tone deaf in this regard?
No, I think a lot of it goes back to it's a power in a negotiation. Right. And so it has a value to give it up. I think the NFL is totally ready and prepared to give up discipline in the next CBA. They want something for it because it's something that is the perception of the players want it. And so it's going to cost them something to get it.
But not a lot of players really have throughout the league, the run-ins with the commissioner that
Sure. I mean, I played 12 years. I never spoke to the commissioner one time.
Right.
Not. I got a letter when I retired.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right? Nice. That was the first time, really, right?
Did it go in a trash can?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Not because I not in that way, not that pointed, like, oh, it's from Roger Goodell, I'm going to throw it out. But, yeah, it's not like I'm going to hang it on my wall.
Right.
Right? But I think that's why. I think it's a power and it's a piece of the puzzle that's going to get renegotiated in the CBA. And that's why I implore the NFLPA to say, not a chance are we giving you something for that. We're literally helping you by allowing you to remove that from your power because you're burying yourselves with it.
Not just that, but I mean, again, because there's so few players that actually are impacted by the commissioner, most of the PA should look at it and go, fine, well, you can continue to have the power. Really don't care. Well, they want more revenue.
It's not affecting enough guys, right.
CBS and the local news headlines. Zach Street, Christian Garrick here, continues on Sports Talk on WWL. Back here with Zach Street, former Saints offensive lineman, the voice of the Saints. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. You ready for the greatest Who Dat Nation rally ever? Mark these dates down. Saturday, September 7th, and Sunday, September 8th. That's the weekend before the Saints' first regular season game against Houston here at home on Monday Night Football. That's the weekend of the Who Dat Nation rally and music festival. Good food, great music on three different stages. A big-time family fun at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center and Sam's Funky Nation, at LaSalle Park in Metairie. Musical acts include the Guess Who, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Big Sam's Funky Nation, the New Power Generation, Prince's Band celebrates the music of Prince. I will be there. I'm a big Prince fan. Love, dearly beloved. I mean, come on. That's Prince. All brought to you by River Parish Disposal, Acadian Windows, and Oakland Heart Jewelers. The Who Dat Nation Rally and Music Festival, September 7th and 8th in Metairie and Jefferson Performing Arts Center at LaSalle Park. Coming out, Who Dat with WWL. Get your tickets now at whodatnationevents.com. I'm sure we're going to find our way, Zach, Bobby, myself, our sports team, going to find our way out there. Bring the family, have some fun, listen to music, eat great food, and celebrate Rally for the Saints. That'll be a fun time. On the heels of training camp starting, Zach, as a player, we talked about what you guys go through in terms of preparation and getting ready. A week or two in, for a player that knows that, you know, he's got to have a good camp in order to stick around,
mm-hmm.
He's got to stand out. As that player gets a week and a half, 2 weeks into camp, what's the emotions like on that player that if he's banking on the fact that he has to contribute and stand out, but he knows that he's not? And what's the kind of the vibe around him?
Well, I think you get stressed, right? It builds a lot of anxiety in a player to know I have to make an impression, you know, somewhere in here. And again, I can only speak really to what it was like for me or my position group. I bet it's really hard for a receiver who knows I have to make a play today, but they never threw me the ball, right? Like it never came my way for whatever reason, whether that was I wasn't open or the quarterback didn't trust me or, you know, I'm sure that can get really frustrating for guys. But, yeah, I think more than anything, you feel like, man, I have to make something happen. And that can go one of two ways, really. You know, that can be, I need to make something happen, and you find a way to do that. And it can be, I need to make something happen, and I start pressing, and I mess up. You know, it gets worse. I think at the offensive line position, it's all about consistency. So, you know, it's less about a big moment. But for a lot of skill positions, it is about that moment. It's about flashing, and, you know, Mickey Loomis told me, and I'll look at the game differently in the preseason forever because of it, that we grade the splashes first. So the first thing we're going to look at is what were the big plays? What was the play that everyone was like, wow, right? And then they're going to look and say, okay, then we're going to look behind it and see what else is behind that big moment or those big moments. And then we're going to ask our coaches, can you make that happen more? But I know he's capable of that. So that's your ceiling. So the guy in practice that runs down the sideline and you haven't talked about him all camp and makes an OBJ catch, one-handed, falling out of bounds, drags a toe, they're going to look at that play and say, oh, wow, that's what he's capable of. Can we get him to a point where that's common? And so for a lot of skill players, that is their reality, is that they are chasing sometimes that moment. And sometimes that moment never happens, and their body of work is enough. But I think for a lot of players, especially at the skill positions, that is exactly what they're searching for throughout training camp. If they're a guy that they know, you know, hey, I'm at the bottom of this roster. I need to make something happen. We talked about it earlier in the show. Make yourself uncuttable, right? Like, the team has to keep you. Return a punt in the preseason. You know, it's very hard to cut a guy that returns a punt in the preseason, especially if there's anything good behind that. You know, if you've been a total dud and all of a sudden it's like, oh, they only brought 9 guys out on punt team, maybe that's not going to do it.
Right.
But for the most part, those really big plays, you know, you catch 2 big long passes in one game, both contested. They're going to look at those and say, man, on the field in a game with all this pressure, that guy performed. That's what he's capable of doing right there. It becomes hard to release a guy because they're going to see potential. And now the whole league has seen that potential, particularly when it happens in a preseason game. And you start saying, well, we wanted to see where that potential goes. And you find yourself, you know, on the roster.
Have you ever seen, I'm sure it's probably happened in games, but in a training camp practice where you guys talk about moments. I hear Sean Payton talk about it all the time. Has there ever been, and I'm not asking you to name names, but has there ever been an instance where you saw a player that was just too big for him, even in practice? Training camp?
Yeah, all the time. I think what you see more of is that there's guys, it's hard to say, I think, in practice, because in practice, the guys that you're making that type of a judgment on are guys that you've never played with before. So I don't know what he did at the last place to know if he's changed here. You absolutely see guys that in practice you're just like, oh my gosh. Like, do you see the plays this guy is making? And you get into the game and it's like a totally different human. That for sure happens. And listen, that is not hard to have happen. You know, your room for error at this level, at the NFL level, at the professional level, in any sport is small. You know, you're talking, there's not a big difference between making a play and not making a play. And a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress, a little bit of uncertainty that you're playing with makes all the difference in the world. And I think you could go back and find all kinds of players that you say, man, in training camp, you know, unbelievable. Look, and then it just
the All-Metro team.
And then it just never converts over to the field. And it's just the nature of it. It's not for everybody.
The voice of the Saints, Zach Strief. I'm Christian Garrick. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Zach Strief, Christian Garrick, head of Saints training camp. Zach, was there ever a player that how common was it in OTAs you thought, oh man, this guy, defensive lineman, this guy could be problematic, and then the pads come on and it's like, okay, not so worried.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with a specific name for you, but I think there's a kind of a body type for defensive linemen, these kind of big, heavy defensive ends that don't have real good movement skills in OTAs can overwhelm you a little bit, just because of it's really hard in OTAs without shoulder pads on to grab anything, right? It's like trying to block a popsicle, you know, you just slide off of, you know, it's different. And so it makes guys feel very heavy because you can never truly resist them like you're used to with your hands. And so a lot of those guys, you go through OTAs and they'll win a bunch. You know, all of a sudden they don't have to move a ton because their power is effective. And then as soon as you put pads on and you can actually throw your hands and set on somebody and set your feet, the lack of movement skill really shows up. You think about how much wider you are in shoulder pads, how much bigger your target is than you are in a jersey or a t-shirt. And so, yeah, those to me are the guys that, like, and it's always every year there's one of those guys that comes in and you're like, man, he's a handful. As you get a little bit older, you're like, just wait till he gets pads on, right? And you can grab him, and it's no longer all of a sudden the fact that his hips are tight is going to reveal itself.
Would a defensive line coach talk to the offensive line about a particular player on the D-line as to how difficult he might be? Pick your brain?
I think as you get older, yeah. I think that coaches will come and ask you as a veteran player what you think about somebody, what, you know, hey, you know, what would you – what's good about him, what's bad about him. Because, listen, all those coaches are trying to make those same determinations. And, again, not everyone gets to be in the position to make big plays all the time, especially at the defensive line. You know, you might be the guy that, you know, ends up being you go and have, you know, a week of third down periods, and you spend 60% of the time covered up by a tight end. Well, that's very hard to look and judge and, you know, make a determination. So I think those guys are always looking for information. Even the scouting department will come to an older player and say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so? I think that's good. I think that's a sign of a good coach and a good scouting department to seek all the information that he can. You take a guy like Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead. If you make one of those guys think that you're a good pass rusher, you're a good pass rusher.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Those guys have seen – they've seen them all. They've seen all the guys that are good, all the guys, and what it looks like when there's a real dominant defensive end. Same inside. You take a guy like Larry Warford. If he struggles with you and he tells you, man, that guy gives me a bunch of trouble, a lot of guards in the NFL are going to have that exact same feeling, and it doesn't always equate to winning.
Would a pro personnel guy come to you and say, hey, we're thinking about bringing this guy in? You've played against him a handful of times. Give us an upfront scouting report.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not, you know. Absolutely. I think there's been guys that come. Terry Fontenot has done that several times of, hey, what did you think about, you know, this guy? A lot of times I think that's probably less in the off season. I think in the off season they're building their own charts.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But during mid-season, the season or like after training camp when there's releases and there's some veterans floating out there and it's kind of like, hey, we got to make a quick decision. Yeah, I think they're seeking any information, you know, that they can get.
And there's not a player's code of ultimately going, that's my boy.
I mean, if they asked me about one of my boys, I'd probably be more positive than I would if he wasn't. But, no, in terms of like, no, there's no –
I mean, your reputation's on the line as well.
Listen, I just wanted us to win.
Right.
Right? I mean, way more than – I mean, maybe if I played at a place where there was 100 other guys in the NFL from, then it would have been harder because it had been more common that it was a Northwestern guy or a former teammate. But I played on one team, right? And so if there was a guy that I had played with, they watched him in person a lot because
mm-hmm.
it's the same, same guys, sure. Right? I think I would always be honest with them. I'm sure there's a guy out there would put in a good word for a buddy to get him in there because you want him to be there. But I also think they're aware of that. They're going to take that with a grain of salt when they know it's your roommate from college.
Yeah. Zach Strieff, Christian Garrick, Sports Talk rolls on here on WWL. All right, you ready for the greatest Who Dat Nation rally ever? Mark these dates down. Saturday, September 7th, and Sunday, September 8th. That's the weekend before the Saints' first regular season game against the Houston Texans here at home on Monday Night Football. That's the weekend of the Who Dat Nation rally and music festival. Good food, great music on three stages, big-time family fun at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center in LaSalle Park in Metairie. Musical acts include Tribal Gold, the Top Cats, the Producers, the New Power Generation. Prince's Band celebrates the music of Prince. All brought to you by River Parish Disposal, Acadian Windows, and Oakland Heart Jewelers. The Who Dat Nation Rally and Music Festival, September 7th and 8th in Metairie at Jefferson Performing Arts Center at LaSalle Park. Come on out and Who Dat with WWL. Get your tickets now at whodatnationevents.com. Zach Strieff, Christian Garrick here on Sports Talk. Zach, is there anything fun about training camp? I know players loathe it. Is there any part of it that's fun?
Yeah. I mean, probably more so in hindsight, you know, like there is a thing. I think certainly as you become more secure, this was at the college level, at the pro level, as you become more secure with your position and place, I think it's a lot easier to kind of unwind at the end of the day and have a good time. You know, I oddly enough actually enjoyed most of practice. I hated running.
Of course.
Right. Like I dreaded it. But I actually enjoyed most of practice. So I had a good time at that, and I could always kind of get up for practice. 2 days is a different story. Like, there's a part in camp where you just don't want to do it, and you have to do it. But you get something in camp called the camp giggles. I feel like anyone that's ever played football knows about these, right? It's just like things that are mildly funny are hysterical.
Okay.
Right? Things that are not funny are humorous. And things that are really funny become like, you're like, you know,
hysterically
side
crying.
Stitching. Yeah, I mean, and I don't know what it is. It happened in college. It happened in high school. It happened in the NFL. And it was very much, everyone kind of understood camp giggles. And so like sitting around a table at dinner, having some extra time. We play a lot of cards during training camp the last couple, you know, or my last couple of years.
What's the game of choice with cards?
Spades.
Spades.
Really, yeah. I would say was the most common, but we played a lot of euchre too. Really, when Larry Warford got to the Saints, we now suddenly had four guys that could play euchre.
Okay.
Which you need. And so we started playing more euchre. And then everyone kind of learned that. And there's a lot of similarities between the two games. So it was kind of easy to teach everyone. But, you know, ultimately you spent a lot of time hanging out, especially when it went to one a days. You spent a lot of time sitting around. I mean, a lot. And so, yeah, you know, I think you realize certainly once you leave, real jobs don't have that period in the year where, you know, you work really hard for 2.5 hours or 3 hours. And then, you know, you get in a workout and then you have to hang out for 3.5 hours. Right. I mean, yeah. That's basically what it is until you got meetings that night. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff. I think everyone always says, you know, training camp, I will never miss the act of training camp.
Of course.
I was at the facility today. I saw the looks on faces. Like, I don't miss that at all. Right. Like getting ready for
just
a conditioning test. Yeah. It's just listen, Sean will tell them the first day there's no light at the end of the tunnel. Can't see any light. It's all darkness. Right. It's a long. They're long. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just are. Even now. They're long. You know, it's a month of every day. You're waking up and that's what you're doing. And so I don't miss that at all, but you certainly miss the camaraderie. And that's anyone that leaves. You miss the locker room. You miss spending time with guys. I played Larry in ping pong today before I left. I hadn't played ping pong since I walked out the door. Right?
Did you win? So
I won the first game and I should have left. And he beat me the next two. And I told him I should have left after I beat him. I said, I was surprised I beat him the first game. But you know, those are the things you miss. And so if you miss camaraderie, you're never going to miss anything more than training camp, because there's way more of that during camp than there is at any other point of the year where practice ends and you go home. But
so some vets are already here.
Hmm?
Some vets are already in.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys don't leave. And I mean, I always worked out at the facility. You know, I saw Ramchek up there today. I saw Josh Hill, Morstead, Will Lutz. There's a lot of guys that are around there because, you know, it's just time to be back. No, not a lot of guys fly in the night before.
Dave Kamens, host of the Golf Pod on the Believe Podcast Network, former founding producer of the Golf Channel, will join us next hour. Shane Lowry shocking the field to win his first major at the Open. Sports Talk continues here on WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.